If you have your Bibles this morning, we invite you to turn with us to the book of Revelation. I want to look at chapter 5 again this morning. Revelation chapter 5, verse number 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred, and tongue, and people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. I want to preach on this thought, the Lord being our helper today. Worthy is the Lamb. And Father, we ask now that you would help us. We've read your word. We've studied. We've prayed. We've been burdened with this. And Lord, now the time has come to share the word of God. And Lord, I am too weak and feeble. But Father, he that's within me, the one that called me to preach, Lord, I pray that Father, you would open my mouth and help me to declare the oracles from heaven. God, the precepts of the word of God. Father, you'd open our ears real good. Help us to hear and to heed the word of God. Thank you, Father, for the Lion. Thank you, God, for the root of David. Thank you, God, for the Lamb. Oh, I pray now you'd touch us, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Today I feel led that we should study this crucified Lamb. First of all, I want us to see the fantastic scene. First, number one, the Bible says that John has been summoned to heaven. In fact, if you read chapter 4, there was a trumpet that sounded, a door that opened, and John was called up, which represents the rapture of the church. There is a summons to the throne. Praise God. John saw, if you're saved today, you and I in that number. You and I are standing there in Revelation 4 and in Revelation 5. When he comes to chapter 5, not only has he seen a summons to the throne, but he sees the sovereignty of the throne. There's a holy God sitting upon the throne. He's got the whole world in his hands, amen. He's in charge sovereignly of every move that has ever been made. Nothing comes as a surprise to God. He is in charge. And then the next thing he saw, not just the summons and the sovereignty, but I want you to know he saw the saints that surrounded the throne. And when he looks, he sees in the hand of God a book. That makes me think, second of all, not just the fabulous scene or the fantastic scene, but the fascinating scroll. Now, I have with me this morning a type of a scroll. It would be an object, not just a book, as the scripture calls it a book, but it's the word biblion, which is a scroll.
It would have seven seals. This one I have in my hand has a rubber band about it. If I take the rubber band off of it this morning and I begin to take it and open it up, little by little, it will begin to unroll. And it will unroll until the next seal. And if I break that seal, it'll unroll again. And if I break that seal, it'll unroll again. What is this scroll, this fascinating scroll that's in the hand of God? Now, realize who's got it. It's in the hand of the divine one. It's of divine origin. God is in control of all things, the entire world. He gave the title deed to earth to man. Man had dominion over the earth. He named all the animals. He was in charge. But man sinned. He disobeyed God and he forfeited, he squandered, he fumbled his rights to the title deed to the earth. Now the title deed is in forfeiture. The Bible says that this scroll was written within and without. In other words, if it's written within, it tells how the land or the property came into forfeiture. Inside is the story of how all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. On the outside would be written the price of the redemption of this land. Listen, hallelujah. The price is none other than the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He would, hallelujah. He would take the sinless one, the innocent one, to give his life. And now this property has been in forfeiture. You were in forfeiture. The land, creation itself, was in forfeiture. Amen. And the Bible says there's thirdly a frantic search. They looked all through heaven. Preacher, what are they looking for? The requirements were one that was worthy, not who was willing. Oh, there's a lot of people would have been willing. You might have been willing. Napoleon would have been willing. Stalin would have been willing. Alexander the Great would have been willing. I'm certain our president today would have been willing. But that's not the question. The question's not who's willing, it's who's worthy. What is the reach of this search? They searched all heaven. They saw Abraham. They found Moses. They found Solomon. They found David, Elijah and Elisha, Daniel and Ezekiel, Isaiah. They found the apostles. Hey, but none of them, all of heaven, none of them, not one saint was worthy to take the book, the scroll out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Then they looked on earth of all the great men, all the rich men, but they couldn't find one who was worthy. Oh, they found great men. They found rich men, but they couldn't find one worthy. So they scoped on and reached on into hell and looked into the depths of depravity. And I'm certain they found great, rich, influential people, powerful people that feel the dominions of hell and feel the realms of hell, the demons and the devil himself. But not one of them was worthy to take the book out of the hand of the one that sat upon the throne. And then I want you to know, we see the results. John wept. The Bible said he wept much because the earth is now in tribulation. The earth is now in chaos, and it has been for thousands and thousands of years. And he says it looks like sin's going to win out. It looks like the devil's going to continue to destroy. It looks like the devil's going to be the god of this world from now on and on and on. And the voice said, one of the elders said, weep not. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Oh, I want you to know that elder said, I want you to notice that the lion. When you see the lion, I want you to see his ancestry. He's the God man. He's out of the line of the tribe of Judah. Genesis 49, just as he said he would be. I want you to notice not only the ancestry of the lion, but then I want you to see the appearance of the lamb. The Bible said this lamb stood as it had been slain. He still bore the marks of the death that he bore. Crucified upon Calvary's cross. Crucified for the sins of all mankind. But no longer crucified, now he's standing. He had been slain. He had been slaughtered. He had been butchered. He had been bludgeoned. But now he stands alive forevermore. I want you to know, when he looked for the lion, he saw the lamb. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I'm glad Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, aren't you? Then I want you to know, look at the seventh verse, seven being that perfect number. The scripture says, the authority of the Lord, he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Only Jesus is worthy. They looked all over heaven. They looked all over earth. They looked in the realms and the regions of the damned in hell. But I want you to know that only Jesus was worthy to take the book. And he reaches and grabs that book. If you look at chapter 6, the first part of the verse said, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. This is the Lamb that has the authority to open this fascinating scroll. We see then, number 4, the fabulous Savior, don't we? We see him as the Lion. We see him as the Root of David. We see him as the Lamb of God, amen? And I'm thankful for that. Number 5, and we'll be done. I want you to see, last of all, the figurative symbol of the Lamb. Oh, you and I need to behold the Lamb, don't we? Looking for the Lion, and he beheld the Lamb. Oh, I think, first of all, this morning about a Lamb and its little spirit. Think about it. The word here in the book of Revelation is a word that means pet. In fact, it's only found right here. It's found 27 times in reference to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is a lamb that is a pet. Now, yesterday as I was talking with my wife, she has a little dog. Her name is Macy. And I was telling her about what the Lord had laid on my heart. And I said, imagine me taking little Macy this morning and just cutting her throat. And I demonstrated that. Gina looked at me and she said, you wouldn't do such a thing to my little dog? And I said, oh, how beautiful she is and how much you love her. But she's just a dog. She's not worthy. But I want you to know that little old lamb, innocent, meek, humble, as a pet. I want you to see, think about it. I want you to see, first of all, let's behold the lamb being promised. All the way back in the book of Genesis, man sinned. And in Genesis chapter 3, God said to the serpent, I'll put enmity between thee and the seed of that woman. And through her seed, there's going to come a Messiah. There's going to come a promised one. Amen. And you read the book of Genesis chapter 3. The man and the woman, when they disobeyed God and sinned, they realized they were naked. What did God do to cover their sin? He took a little animal and he shed its blood. And that blood covered their sin. The skin of that animal covered their nakedness. Preacher Dan, are you saying it was a lamb? I don't know what type of a beast or an animal that it was, but more than likely, I believe it was a lamb. Can you imagine man and woman, as much as they loved all of creation, and they named those little animals, look right over here, they named, in that window, and they named those little animals. He said, I'm going to call you a lamb. No doubt Adam put his hand on his head. No doubt Adam stroked gently across the fleece and the wool of its little back. Oh, and when Adam looked and realized he was naked and hid from God, God said, where art thou? Oh, he said, I'm in sin, Lord. And he took that little lamb, the one he had his hand on. He took that little lamb, the one he loved so much and had personally named. He took that little lamb and shed its blood and said, this blood is for the forgiveness of your sin. This lamb's life is going to atone for you. And now we're going to take it and clothe you with garments. Preacher Darren, I just don't believe that. Fast forward to Genesis chapter 4. I'm trying to preach quick. Fast forward to Genesis chapter 4, and you're going to see some boys there by the name of Cain and Abel. The Bible says in Genesis 4, verse number 4, that Abel brought one of the firstlings of his flock. Why do you think he's coming to bring this animal? You know what he's going to do? That little firstling. The first one that was born. Don't you know he was proud as a shepherd? That his flock is beginning to produce and it's beginning to grow. And oh, he probably named it. And oh, how he saw it as it began to grow up. But he knew the whole time, this one belongs to God. This one belongs to God because I'm a sinner. My daddy Adam, my mama Eve taught me that my God requires the blood of the lamb. And he comes with that little animal. Don't you know he took it to that little altar there? Don't you know he probably had tears in his eyes just like I do this morning? And he put his hand on that little animal's head and he drew up that knife. What he's saying is, little lamb, I'm transferring to you my guilt. I'm transferring to you my sin. And in return, by shedding your blood, you're transferring to me your innocency. Ooh, he took that knife there. Preacher, don't talk about it. Oh, it's gory. Oh, listen, it's not gory, it's glory. He took that little lamb there and he cut its little throat. And the blood, it wasn't spilled. It was shed for the atonement of his sins. Oh, God was well pleased with that sacrifice. Hey, his mom and daddy told him, son, if you're going to come to God, you've got to come by the blood of the lamb. There's no other way. Let me tell you something this morning, youngins. Let me tell you something this morning, adults. There's no other way to come to God but by the blood of the lamb. And I bless his holy name. You can see Abel, then his brother, or Cain, his brother, coming in with the fruit of the ground. No doubt he had some beautiful pumpkins. No doubt he had some beautiful fruit of the ground. Had green beans and taters. Boy, I like them, don't you? He brings them in and sets them down. Oh, they're nice and orange and red and green. And oh, they're beautiful to look at. And Cain backs away and he says, here, God, here's my offering. And God, he did not respect the offering of Cain. He said, you need to do like your brother Abel. I require the blood. I taught your mama. I taught your daddy. I told your brother. I will not accept the works of your hands. I will not accept your fruit. It must be the blood of the lamb. Oh, Cain got angry. He got mad because he was rejected, because he tried to come another way. He went and killed his own brother. Let me tell you something this morning, church. Hey, from the very promise of the beginning of time, it's been the lamb. I say this morning, behold the lamb that was promised. Amen. What a graphic scene it was that morning as they realized just how much their sin really cost them. Flash forward to Genesis 22. We have a man by the name of Abraham. He couldn't have a child, couldn't have a child, couldn't have a child. And finally, God blessed Abraham and his wife to have a boy by the name of Isaac. He said, this is the promised one. Oh, don't you know how he played favorites with that boy? He loved him. He probably hugged him every day, prayed over him 4 and 5 times a day. He'd do anything to spend time with little Isaac. And there came a time where God said, Abraham, yes, Lord, I want you to take your son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and I want you to take him up on the mountain that I tell you of, and there I want you to offer him to me as a sacrifice. Abraham had learned to trust God. He said, yes, Lord, I'll do it. He gets together all the things. He gets to gather the wood and the knife, and he takes the boy, and they begin walking. God shows him the place. It was called Mount Moriah, right where Calvary is today. They begin walking up that hill. Little Isaac looks to his daddy there in Genesis 22 and he says, my father, he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the wood and here's the fire, but where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? Hey, Isaac knew that we must come by the blood of the lamb. Where's the lamb? Abraham looked at an instant and he said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. They're going up the mountain. The Bible says he put that wood on Isaac atop of the cross. He put it on him. Little Isaac laid himself down. I wish there was on that altar there. He took that knife back, began to draw it. God came and said, stop. I know you've not withheld that was most precious from me. And I want to stop you. And when he did, he heard a little rustling back behind him. And when he looked, there was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. God was saying, I'll provide myself a lamb to sacrifice. He let Isaac go, lifted him up there. Listen, Abraham knew even if he slayed him, God would raise him back again. He believed that his God had power, amen, over death, hell, and the grave, and then raise his boy back up again. Had God provided in that ram, caught by his horns, in that thicket, reminds me of Jesus with a crown of thorns they placed upon his head. Oh, I want you to behold the lamb that was promised. He's the foremost lamb. He was slain before the foundation of the world. He is the first lamb, that very first lamb that was slain, pointing to Calvary, pointing to Jesus. And I want you to know, amen, he's the final lamb. He's the, oh, hallelujah, no more lambs have to be slain. Hey, Jesus is the one that has redeemed us. So behold the lamb's promise. Second of all, behold the lamb provided. In the book of Luke, chapter 2, the Bible says that God came to a young virgin by the name of Mary. And in Luke, chapter 2, we see Mary and Joseph heading away to pay their taxes. Verse 4, they were going to a place called Bethlehem to be taxed. Verse 6, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Oh, you know where lambs are born? They're born in mangers, amen. I want you to know the angel came. The Bible says they were in the same country, shepherds. You know who watch over lambs? Shepherds do. They're in the same country, shepherds, abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I want those shepherds said, let's go and see this thing which has come to pass. And as they traveled down to that little old manger, you know, when they got there, they recognized him. That's the lamb. That's God's son, amen, being born, amen, in this place. I want you to know the Bible says in Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, it gives us, listen to this, seven expressions of a lamb. Listen, number one, he's borne our griefs. Number two, he's carried our sorrows. Number three, he was wounded for our transgressions. Number four, he was bruised for our iniquities. Number five, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Number six, by stripes we are healed. Number seven, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I say, praise God that the Lamb has been provided. Number three, behold the Lamb presented. Mary and Joseph took him on the eighth day and made a little offering, you know, two turtle doves. And Simeon saw him, a devout man, waiting for the consolation of the Lord. He said he would not die. God said, you will not die till you see the Lord's Christ. And when this little couple comes in, the Holy Ghost said, there he is. Woo, Simeon ran over there. Bible says he lifted him up. Boy, praise God. Hey, there's a lot of wise men ought to be lifting him up this morning. He lifted him up before the Lord. He was presenting him there in that place. Please understand, you can fast forward a few chapters later. At about 30 years of age, out of obscurity, there's a man by the name of John the Baptist. He's down baptizing. He's saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He's down to baptizing. And into that water walks the darling Son of God. John the Baptist stopped. This is what he said. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Ooh. No longer will we need the bloodshed of animals. No longer will we need baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Hear me. Hey, this is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. Oh, I want you to know, John said, I'm not worthy to baptize you. Jesus said, Scripture must be fulfilled. You're supposed to do this. Oh, let me tell you something there. As the Lord Jesus Christ lived a sinless, innocent life like a little lamb would, the Bible said they took him and put him up on Calvary's cross. Listen, a lamb has no defense. Very meek. He doesn't have big claws to strike you with. He doesn't have a loud voice to roar against you with. Doesn't have sharp teeth to bite you with. He has no defense. Oh, our Lord and Savior, in a spirit of gentleness and tenderness and meekness, he offered himself for you and I that we might be set free. Oh, friend, they lifted our Lord and Savior up. He was presented, lifted up on that cross, hanging between the earth and heaven was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might be saved. Number four, not only behold the Lamb presented, but behold the Lamb prevailed. First of all, I see Jesus now as that slain Lamb. Do you see him? They beat him into obscurity. They bludgeoned him. They beat him. They crucified him. He gave his life. No doubt the marks were upon his body where he gave his life. He is the slain Lamb. But the Scripture says he's prevailed. I told you last week to prevail means to carry off the victory. You know, the devil got Jesus out in the wilderness and tried to tempt him and tried to cause him to fall. Hey, but the Lamb prevailed. He did not see it, amen, but he quoted Scripture and he defeated the devil. I want you to know then he took him there to another place. He said, I'm going to get you in this garden here and we're going to get you to fail. We're going to put pressure on you the way the world's going to put on you. Hey, but the Lamb prevailed out of that garden and carried off the victory. Then I want you to know they put him there upon the cross and said, you're a fool for dying for a bunch of old wretched sinners. Oh, but the Lamb prevailed and carried off the victory and shed his blood for us because he loved us. Then he said, Jesus is finished. I made sure they rolled a stone in front of his tomb. He's not getting out of there. That Lamb is dead. But praise God, on the third day, which would be a first day of the week, up over victorious over death, victorious over hell, conquering the grave, came our Lamb that we might be saved. I say then, he's not just the slain Lamb, but he's the standing Lamb. Jesus said, I am he that was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. He, look where he's standing. He said, I see him standing in the midst. Oh, he's in the midst of the throne.